In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to do a little bit of a story this morning. You can turn to where we're going to be, 2 Kings chapter 18, 543 in your pew Bibles, 543. We're going to talk about Hezekiah. I'll give you a little overview as you turn to 2 Kings 18. He's the son of King Ahaz, one of the most wicked kings of all time. And he reigned for 29 years. He started out at 25 years old. And Hezekiah was one of the greatest, godliest kings ever. Look at chapter 18, verses 5 through about 8 or so, 7 or something like that. It says, Hezekiah trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel, where there was no one like him among all the kings of Judah, either before him or after him. He held fast to the Lord and did not cease to follow him. He kept the commands the Lord had given Moses, and the Lord was with him. He was successful in whatever he undertook. He rebelled against the king of Assyria and did not serve him. So, King Hezekiah was a good king. He cleared house, cleaned up the land of Judah and Jerusalem, and he even took the temple doors that had been nailed shut by his father and took the nails out and opened up the temple again and brought worship of God back into the kingdom. Got rid of all the pagan idols and gods and brought the priesthood back. And Hezekiah was quite a godly king. Isaiah and Micah were the prophets during that time. The Assyrians were sweeping the land at that time also. And Hezekiah had a little confrontation with the king of Assyria. And in that confrontation, which was the 14th year of his reign, I want you to remember that. The Assyrians confronted Hezekiah, and he didn't know what to do. At first he tried to pay homage and tried to get him to relent, but Assyrians didn't. They told him, why should we be afraid of you? We've wiped out all these other nations. What were their gods? They didn't help with anything. So Hezekiah went and he prayed. He didn't fall apart. He went and prayed. Told Isaiah, and Isaiah went and prayed. And this is what happened. Go over to chapter 19. Chapter 19. You'll see in verse 20. Isaiah, son of Amoz, chapter 19, verse 20. There we go. Then Isaiah, son of Amoz, sent a message to Hezekiah. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I have heard your prayer concerning the king of Assyria. I'm not going to try to pronounce his name. This is the word that the Lord has spoken against him. And he goes through this whole thing about what the Lord was going to do to the Assyrians, and that he was going to defend the city. In verse 34, I will defend the city and save it for my sake and the sake of David, my servant, declares the Lord. And so Hezekiah was like, oh, this is great. Verse 35, that night the angel of the Lord went out and put to death, are you reading that? 185,000 men in the Assyrian camp. 185,000 men in the Assyrian camp were dead in the morning by the angel of the Lord. Nobody had to fight. Hezekiah didn't have to get his army together. Nobody had to do anything. The angel of the Lord did it for him. So the king of Assyria wisely broke camp, withdrew, returned to Nineveh, and stayed there. I would think that you would be shaken in your boots. and not want to go anywhere. Well, he got his comeuppance in verse 37. His two sons put him to death and then ran for their lives. His other son succeeded him as king in Assyria. We find that King Hezekiah immediately after that, or in that time period, chapter 20, verse 1, it says, "In those days Hezekiah became ill, was at the point of death." And I thought that strange in my mind, because here King Hezekiah was the godliest king, the best thing that ever happened, and he serves 29 years, and 14 of them, the 14th year, he gets this battle and gives it to the Lord. The Lord fights it for him, and now he's on his deathbed in the 14th year. Because he prays to the Lord in verse 2. He turns his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord, "Remember how I've walked before you faithfully and with wholehearted devotion and have done what is good in your eyes." And Hezekiah wept bitterly. Verse 4, "Before Isaiah had left the middle of court, the word of the Lord came to him, 'Go back and tell Hezekiah, the leader of my people, this is what the Lord, the God of your father David, says. I have heard your prayer, seen your tears. I will heal you. On the third day from now, you will go to the temple of the Lord, and I will add 15 years to your life." 15 years. Well, we would consider that a blessing, wouldn't we? Except his son was Manasseh. And Manasseh was 12 years old when he became king. In chapter 21, verse 1, he became king and he reigned in Jerusalem 55 years. Tells what his mother's name was, but in verse 2 sums it up. He did evil in the eyes of the Lord, following the detestable practices of the nation the Lord had driven out before the Israelites. He built up high places. He did all the things that Hezekiah had cleaned up, his father. Isn't that strange when you look at a history like that and see an overview? We look at Hezekiah and we see all these great things that he did, and he even prayed to the Lord and was answered his prayer and gave him 15 more years, added up to 29 years, and soon after, as a child, that doesn't follow the Lord. You know, there's several lessons in this I want us to take note of. First lesson is, you know, what your parents have done does not have a bearing on what you do. I get so tired of hearing kids say, "Well, you know, because my parents did this or did that and they neglected me or they beat me or they, you know, were too good to me or they gave me everything and I'm spoiled." And, you know, you hear all these things about, you know, the kids saying this and that about all the things that happened in their lives, and that's why they are the way they are. Well, you know, definitely that has a contributing factor. I will admit that. But you have the choice. If you're old enough to make a difference, to make your own choices and think for yourself, you can make a choice. Hezekiah did. His dad was one of the most wicked kings, and Hezekiah chose to follow God. It's not my parents. My parents had a factor, but I have the ultimate choice. You choose your path. And you will reap the consequences for your actions, good or bad. You know, some of us reap some good consequences, you know, are going along and things are going really well. Others, we don't. Others, we do something and we're paying the consequences. But we have a choice in every one of those things. We have a choice to turn away. Remember Jesus when they threw this adulterer in front of him and said, "What do you think about her?" And Jesus looked at her and he drew in the sand a little bit and he said, "If anyone has no sin, you can cast the first stone." Nobody did. They all dropped their stones and walked away. Then Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you." You know what he told her? finally, when she got up to go, he said, "Go and sin no more." Now we think that's impossible because, you know, we're sinners, and true, we make mistakes. But he was telling her, choose a better path. Go and walk a different way. Don't follow the same path that you were on. You know better. Next time I may not be here to save you. That's the kind of thing that we need to do. You know, when we go through our lives and we're faced with mistakes and errors in our lives, and we do something and we got to choose a different path. Don't continue on the same path and expect a different result. You know what that is? The definition of insanity. To keep doing what you're doing and expect a different result. It doesn't happen. You know, next thing is that usually after a great event in your life, something bad does happen. Something tears you down. Now, I don't know how many of you have gone to camps, you know, Christian camps or seminars, or you've been to concerts or different things where, you know, Christians are all there and they're singing and they're having a great time. You've been on different things like that, and you go there and you're just like, oh, this is so great. You know, you hear all those thousands of people singing, and you get to worship with all of them, and then you got a speaker who's all on fire, somebody different than me. You get to look at a different mug, and they're inspiring, and they do this all the time, and they're just this great inspiring message. And then you go home. You go home, and you're back to the normal humdrum, and back to work and doing all the things that you're doing, and you find that you come down off that mountain pretty quick, and things don't go quite the way that they were at the seminar. I think those seminars and those places that we go are like a little taste of heaven. That's what heaven's going to be like. Worship. Thousands upon thousands, 10,000s upon 10,000, singing in one voice. Can you imagine all of us singing Amazing Grace and having 10,000 upon 10,000 and angels and all this music in heaven and singing that, and you have no coming down off the mountain? You're there for eternity. What is that going to feel like? What is that going to be like? We never have to come back. But Hezekiah, he went through all that, and then all of a sudden he's on his deathbed. He prayed with tears. He wept and prayed to God, change this path that I'm on. He was given more time. Maybe different for all of us. We pray for the Lord to give us something to guide us to whatever. You know, Paul, remember Paul? Thorn in the flesh. 3 times he prayed to the Lord. What did he get? More grace. My grace is sufficient for you. Abraham prayed and prayed for a son, remember? And he went and he tried it his way. But God gave him a son the way he wanted to give him a son. Moses was given power to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt. Gideon was given boldness to lead the people of Israel out of captivity with the Midianites. You know, what has God given you? How has God changed you? Yeah, I've gone through a lot of things in my life. I know you have too. How has God changed you to serve Him more? Everything you go through, good and bad, is going to shape you. Now, God doesn't want you to go through bad things, but we will, because we live here. So as we go through those bad things that happen in our life, maybe even after a mountaintop experience, what is God doing in your life? How is He shaping you to serve Him? You know, because it is to serve Him. It's not It's not to serve yourself. It's not to feel good, you know, like, oh, in my lazy boy, watching TV, got a remote, and it changes channels till the batteries run out. You know, God doesn't bring us through what we've gone through so that we can just veg. He's brought us through things so that we can minister to other people, so we can serve Him. What capacity is that that He's calling you to serve? I don't know. I know what He did for me. He said, I want you to preach. And I went, are you sure? You got the right guy? You know, my address is, I think you got the wrong phone number. But He didn't. He said, no, it's you. And now I had the choice, of course, to follow Him or not. And I followed Him. And it's been a blessing. Even amidst the bad things that happen. You know, sometimes we pray. We don't get what we think we should get. Hezekiah prayed and I'm not sure he got what he exactly wanted. A child that doesn't follow the Lord. That's a pain. That hurts, doesn't it? I don't know how many of you have had that happen. Maybe one of your kids is not following the Lord. It hurts. What will be said of us? Because really it comes down to us. We can serve God and do everything that He wants us to do, but we cannot be responsible for somebody else's choice. They must choose. We can pray for them, and pray we must, with fasting, if necessary. We need to pray hard for those that need the Lord. We need to seek God as to how He wants us to fit into the equation. Does He want us to go to witness to that person? Does He want us to go and support that person in some way? Does He want us to go and just be there for that person? How does He want us to minister? I've said it before, we have the ministry of reconciliation. I'm not so sure that Manasseh had someone, even if it wasn't Hezekiah, even if Hezekiah, you know, passed away soon after his son, you know, because he's 12 years old when he takes the throne. So Hezekiah must have died when he was about 12 because he took the throne after his dad passed away. And so, couldn't there have been someone who had worked with Manasseh and brought him into the kingdom, helped him to follow God's path? I kind of get an image that he's 12 years old and he's got no guidance. Or maybe some evil guidance. Somebody that says, hey, come on, man. Have a little fun. Your dad was a stick in the mud. Come on, he was no good. And Manasseh went, yeah, that's right. I'm doing everything my dad didn't do. I think we need to reach inside. Seek God with all our heart. Follow Him with every ounce of our being. The time is getting short. I don't know about you, but I look at the world right now and what's going on, and I see a short time frame for the Lord coming back. Are we about His business? Are we doing what God wants us to do? Are we sharing our faith? I'm not talking that you have to stand on a soapbox out by Subway. I've had a dream about that one time. Standing on a box out there by Subway. don't know why Subway. Telling people about the Lord. And I thought to myself, why don't I do that? What's holding me back? You know, it's that feeling of, oh, I don't know, you know. Sharing the gospel wherever I go, that's absolute. You know, go to the doctor, go to funerals, do whatever, I share the gospel. I don't want anybody ever walking away from anywhere that they haven't known for a fact that I shared that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. If I do that, I fail. If I can't bring that message, if I can't share that to somebody and witness that Jesus saved me from eternal hell and has given me eternal life because of His sacrifice, if I can't share that, if I can't make that clear to people, I've not done what I need to do. We all need to do that. And I don't know how you propose to do it in your own mind. It's how you decide to do it, whether it's with a grandchild or a next-door neighbor. I don't know. But I do know that if you aren't standing up for Jesus Christ, what are you standing up for? He's the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Him. He is who we need to focus everything on and serve Him with our entire heart. We got a song that I want to close with. It's an old-time song. But I want us to sing it with a new sense of His presence and a sense of need for Him. You know, it's called "I Need Thee Every Hour." It'll be up on the screen. We're doing three verses of it. "I need Thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like Thine can peace afford. I need Thee, oh I need Thee, every hour I need Thee. Oh bless me now, my Savior, I come to Thee." Let's all stand and pray this song. Worship to the Lord.